Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, everybody, we took this week off, but we're going to share one of our classic episodes. Here is our look at Tooth Fairy 2. Enjoy. Everybody, welcome to the All Too Real 2 podcast.
Hi,
my name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is
Matthew Haas.
Yeah.
Hi.
What's your greatest memory, everybody?
Well,
sure as hell isn't watching Tooth Fairy 2.
Anything before watching this movie just now. Oh, you can tell from our voices that we're not very happy. This has got to be one of, if not the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life, and I'm not even joking about that. I'm seriously depressed, and again, that's not even being humorous. I took my medicine this morning. I felt fine. I'm actually more depressed now than I've been in like 3 months, just from 90 minutes. Of watching that pink-clad motherfucker run around grabbing people's teeth. Okay.
Okay, everyone. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Mike. I already did that?
You did that.
Oh, okay. I did that already, didn't I? Yeah, anyways. So we watched Tooth Fairy 2. Starring Dan Whitney. A.K.A. Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Shit Guy. Larry the motherfucker guy.
Let's give him the respect he does. Wait, no.
No, he doesn't
Anyways,
have any respect at all.
Okay, Larry, if you want to be on the show, tough.
No.
And
I'm done being diplomatic about that. No.
Yeah, tough, Larry, tough. Okay, so. All right, in 2010, there was this movie called Tooth Fairy. It was an okay movie. It starred Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ashley Judd, Julie Andrews, Billy Crystal, Stephen Merchant, Seth MacFarlane. I watched it. Matt hasn't watched it.
No.
I enjoyed it. It's kind of forgettable. So then we started a podcast a few years later. Where we decided that, hey, let's watch direct-to-video sequels on some movies. And then I realized, hey, there's a Tooth Fairy 2. And I was like, hey, Matt, let's watch Tooth Fairy 2.
Mm-hmm. I said, sure.
And then sometime after that, I died. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'm almost wishing it would have happened like 90 minutes ago.
We are both in purgatory right now, probably.
Yes.
This is our medium place.
Mm-hmm.
I joked about it beforehand. I think the only DVD available is Tooth Fairy 2 in our medium place. That's what the
only on the TV show The Good Place, the medium place, the only movie they have to watch is Cannonball Run 2. I would watch Cannonball Run 2 500 times before I ever watched this piece of shit again in my life. At least Cannonball Run 2 has Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, and Jamie Farr and other good actors in it. Not Larry the fucking Cable Guy.
I don't know what to say, dude. I'm punch drunk because of how stupid. I mean, it's not even a funny punch drunk. It's like Marc Maron talks about boredom with an edge to it when he's listening to Dave Matthews. That's the boredom right now. A real sharp fucking edge. I mean, like I want to claw something right now. Oh my god. I'm sorry, guys. I know that we usually have good banter right now, but I don't even know. Do you want to?
So, okay, this movie has a plot of some sort. Okay, the purpose of a tooth fairy is that when a child loses a baby tooth, you know, the kid can place it beneath the pillow while it's sleeping.
What's with the accent?
I don't know. And so the kid gets money for the tooth. Okay, we all know this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so according to this movie, tooth fairies live on, you know, kids' happy thoughts about tooth fairies or some bullshit like that.
So a really complex system they got going on.
Yeah. Anyways, so start out this movie where Larry the Cable Guy is with a woman far more beautiful than he should ever be with.
It's the King of Queens scenario, like you
said. Yeah. Named Brooke, played by the beautiful Erin Butte. Or Butte.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
know, but her last name. She's a beauty
and
with the last name Butte. B-E-U-T-E. I don't know if that's Butte or Beauty. I don't know what it is. But anyways, she is a rather attractive woman and a decent actress.
And she's stuck with this piece of shit.
Dan Whitney, a.k.a. Larry the fucking Cable Guy.
God damn it. God damn it.
So I haven't even gotten into the plot here.
I know.
Okay. So they're on their way to a child's birthday party, like her niece or nephew or some bullshit. Anyways, there's a contest at the bowling alley.
By the way, he's a local professional bowler. So that's important.
And a mechanic.
And a mechanic for a job, yeah.
Yeah, and anyways, there's this car, nice sweet Camaro that you can win. Anyways, he goes to the thing, his name gets pulled. Actually, it doesn't, somebody else's does, but there's this asshole guy named Beauregard Bo Billings, played by David Mackey. And that's the actor's name. You gotta give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, David, I'm not sure he'd want to take that, but
David Mackey. I don't know why you agreed to be in this piece of shit. They must have paid you a lot of money. You and Aaron and anybody else involved in this movie besides Larry the fucking Cable Guy. So anyways, Bo is our typical, you know, asshole, you know, antagonist of
rich
the movie.
Guy,
yeah. He says Larry got the draw to be the person to try to bowl like a good game of some sort or something. I don't know. They didn't even really explain
seven,
this shit.
Split or something like that.
I don't know.
I don't know.
He got it because he slipped on some nacho cheese.
They did that to calm him down.
Yeah, they calmed him down with some nachos, but no, he spilled the nacho cheese on the ground.
Because the fucking idiot had nacho cheese sauce in his fingers, didn't realize it as he picked up the fucking bowling ball.
And then he slipped on the cheese. And got his 7-10 split.
Not only that, though,
he knocked down all the bowling pins in
every
lane in the fucking.
And that was supposed to be his god. And that was, and he was on the news. and it was supposed to be his greatest memory.
Greatest memory of his life.
Yeah, yeah. Because he was,
yeehaw!
He'd always watch, he recorded it and watched it while eating his bucket of fucking chicken because he's so sad that that's the greatest thing in his life that he's ever remembered, is some stupid fucking contest winning a Camaro. It doesn't even work, by the way, after a year of owning it. A year, and it's already broken down.
Or he's just messing with it. Who
whatever.
Knows?
I don't know. Anyways, in my mind, it's broken because he broke it because he's an idiot.
Anyways, to sum up the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Anyways, the oh god, he wins the Camaro. Hot girl leaves him for Beauregard a year later. We see she's with Bo, who's running for mayor or some bullshit. And in this town in Florida that they live in. Anyways, he goes to try to win her back, helps her out at this after-school thing that she volunteers at or works at or runs or does some bullshit there. Hey, I love this movie, man. It's so great. No, it's not. Anyways, Larry screws up while visiting and basically tells this kid there's no such thing as the Tooth Fairy. Kid gets all pissy, tells Brooke that Larry told him that there's no Tooth Fairy.
Like he would, anyone would do that. Mm-hmm. Fucking tattle on some stranger, fucking moron.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't
know. Well, I still remember the exact moment I found out there was no Santa Claus, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was this kid who was the older brother of a friend of mine when I was kids, and I remember he was wearing a Robin shirt, like from Batman and Robin.
Don't get me
Oh, yeah, we'll get to
we'll
that
later.
We'll
save that for
a... Anyways, so anyways, the... Because he made a kid not believe in the Tooth Fairy anymore, he's being sentenced to being a Tooth Fairy.
Yeah. That's his punishment.
For 10, he has to get 10 teeth in 10 days. And I think that was part of the first movie, too. I don't know. I don't remember that one that much. Like I said, it was enjoyable but forgettable. And so he has to get these teeth. And oh, my God.
Do we have to go through the plot? Do we
no. Really have so basically, he has to get these teeth. He has this, like... Tooth Fairy caseworker, who's this little girl named Nyx.
Who overacts way too much. She has to talk like a brat and enunciate every single word she says. Sorry, I'm angry. We're in a bad place right now. So, sorry for her. She's probably a good actress now, but whatever.
Yeah, let's hope so. Anyways, for her sake. And Larry does stuff. I mean, anyways, he collects teeth. You get your typical stereotypical moments throughout the movie where, you know, seems like he's maybe gaining back the trust of the hot chick, and then he
then he loses it.
Loses her trust, and you got the scheming Beauregard guy just doing stuff to try to make Larry look stupider, and you know.
Yep.
You basically could probably write this movie if you had a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's,
and
it's,
were, you know, drunk off your ass. Anyways,
story you've seen like a million times, like
yeah,
literally with a few, you know, unique details. But just because something's unique doesn't mean it's good. And obviously, this movie right here has proven to me if there was ever any proof needed that being unique does not automatically mean good.
No.
Because this movie was not fucking good.
And but basically the consequences of him not getting these teeth is he's going to lose his greatest memory, which he originally thinks is him winning that bowling miracle bullshit and winning that Camaro. But no, it turns out that his greatest memory is his time with Brooke.
Yeah. Which is, you know, heartwarming, I guess. But
yeah.
Whatever.
Aw.
Aw, shucks. Aw, he really loved her.
Aw, dang. Anyways, he gets the teeth. He gets the girl. She's pregnant a year later. He says he wants to help out whenever he can and be a tooth fairy because he enjoyed it or something. And so Nick's like, makes him do the Tooth Fairy shit from time to time, and at the end he gets help from a fucking pig that was in the movie earlier, named Crusher or some bullshit.
Yeah, the pig's name was Crusher. Piglet, sorry.
Yeah, Piglet named Crusher.
And he would use the piglet as, like, decoy or whatever during, and then...
What's the difference between a pig and a piglet?
Well, because a piglet's like a baby pig.
Yeah, but it was a year later and it didn't fucking grow.
This movie doesn't make any sense. You know? Whatever. They probably didn't think of that. They threw it together. Like you said, they were probably drunk off their ass and they had a deadline. They're like, you know what? Fuck it. Mm-hmm. This is a $5 million budget movie. We're going to make $3 million off of it. So we've already lost $2 million just from that alone, not including how much we had to pay fucking Larry fucking Cable Guy. Unless that was part of the $5 million.
Usually
too.
That's part of the budget. Okay, whatever. That's usually part of the budget.
Okay, well.
Yeah, so like if when a movie costs like $120 million, you know, that's, you know, like, and they're paying, you know, an actor $20 million to be in it, that's part of that $120 million. Yeah. Okay, but this was a $5 million movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, my thing is they probably had Larry the Cable Guy under contract and they had to make a movie or something, and, you know, and this is what they fucking came up with. I'm just gonna say this right now. I'm not trying to be nice to Larry the Cable Guy, by any means. He's annoying, and he's a fake. He's not really Southern. You know, his name is Dan, Yul, Lawrence, Whitney. Not Larry the fucking Cable Guy. It's like a character he created for some radio fucking bullshit show. And anyways, we'll tell you this. I did like him in Cars. Mm. I found Mater funny. Mm. But I just had to balance it out a little there. I had to give some good compliment here. I'm not trying to be nice to him because I think he sucks. But my conscience just wanted me to admit to the fact that I did like him in Cars. I never saw Cars 2 or 3. I don't really care to either. So
I don't know.
I don't know what to say.
We've been recording for 15 minutes.
And this is... Okay, so what? Maybe we gotta
And
talk.
I've already gotten through the whole fucking plot of the movie.
Let's be more detailed. So let's talk about the great scenes. Like him sneaking in to a girl's house dressed in all pink with fairy wings. And her parents... catch him in the house, breaking and entering, mind you, and the wife's first instinct is to ask him if he's some kind of singing telegram. My question is, even if that were true, why would they just break in someone's house to do this? Like, no one, like, it's not an office, this is someone's home. Like, so if someone says, hey, go to my friend's house and sing for them, does that mean that you can just, like, you know, break in through, like, a little shimmy of the lock and wait for them to come home? Like, what does that mean? I don't know. So then he sings terribly, and then he tries to sing My Eyes Have Seen the Glory. I can't even finish it. It was so fucking terrible. And then, I think it was the end of that scene. I don't know. I zoned out. And then he comes back later on to get the tooth. This time, when he was trying to impress his ex by volunteering for, like, the rec center or whatever, he brought them a bunch of juice boxes and burritos that he was only giving for himself, which I don't understand, but whatever. So he had, like, 12 burritos that he was going to eat for himself, 12 burritos at breakfast time. 12.
Yeah, I don't know where he puts it all. He's got such a nice,
well-framed
body.
So, because
Not that
he ate...
I have any room to talk. I'm just saying.
No. You're much better than him. But anyway, so he eats these burritos, of course, and then when he's trying to get a second go of getting the tooth, now he's having digestive issues because of the 15,000 burritos he ate for, like, breakfast or lunch. So, but then his farts are like fairy farts. I don't get, and they make the sound of trumpets. I don't get it. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything. But apparently, tooth fairies, when they fart, sounds like trumpets. I guess that's part of the mythology of that. But whatever. So. But somehow the farts still smell like human farts, which, you know, I'm like, okay, so if it, you know, if it has a visualization and it sounds different, why wouldn't fairy farts smell different? But whatever. Okay, so they smell like human farts. And then he eventually hides in the closet in a little girl's bedroom at night. And he
not creepy at all.
Not creepy at all. Dressed as a tooth fairy. And his mom calls on the cell phone, and he thinks he should take the call in the middle of the night in a little girl's bedroom when there's no noise. Girl wakes up, obviously, and then opens the closet door and realizes, oh, it's Larry. You're the tooth fairy. And then they have this nice little moment where he says, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then he puts the dust to make her forget. Oh, no, by the way, he teaches her this great lesson and then makes her forget it by giving her the fairy dust that makes her fall asleep. So that was interesting kind of continuity right there. Teach someone an important life lesson and then immediately make him forget about it. But we're talking about Larry the Cable Guy here. So I'm just trying to fill in details here, dude.
That's fine.
So then the Crusher aspect was he gave him the Crusher, the piglet, some moon pies that made him fall asleep for some reason. Not sure why.
He put some kind of fairy dust on
it. So he put the sleeping. Okay, so he put that thing so the piglet would fall asleep, Crusher would fall asleep. And then, but then later on, the caseworker, I guess, employed Crusher to be by his side to help him as like a decoy and some of his other jaunts, I guess, and just to run around to, you know, distract people while he goes and collects other children's teeth. I don't know. And then, so part of this thing is that every time, like, he'll wear normal clothes, if you want to call them normal, Cable Guy, Larry the Cable Guy normal clothing, I guess, basically just, you know, trashy, cut off
sleeves,
just,
and,
you know,
and baseball cap.
Basically, his character of what he thinks a working man, you know, would dress like, because apparently, you know, if you're working class, you can't like nice things with a random fish hook on every one of his hats. Because, as we all know, if you're working class, you can't enjoy the finer things in life. You have to be, you know, happy with, you know, po' boy sandwiches that make you shit 10 minutes later, because that's the great life.
Buckets of chicken. Don't forget buckets of chicken.
I know. It's like. Guess what? The working class likes good shit, too. You know, you don't have to page whatever. Fuck you. So, you know, I like to go see the opera. I'm not rich. Does that, you know, that make me a fraud? No, it makes me a fucking human being. But whatever. So, anyway, so the piglet. Okay, so he wears these normal clothing. And then when he's got a new mission, that's suddenly when the magic appears. And then he gets all pink or whatever. So, of course, you know, for humor's, or, you know, want thereof, humor's sake, it always happens at the worst possible time for him, either when he's trying to impress Brooke or whatever, or he, Brooke's fiance invited him to go to their wedding shower to kind of prove, like, you know, this is what she's given up, you know, type of thing, some goddamn poor slob, and now she's marrying me, the nice, rich car dealership guy, whatever. So, he wears a clip-on tie and a nice shirt, but no jacket, because this caricature of a person can't dress nice at all for a single occasion.
Still wearing his baseball cap.
Yeah, that's right. He's still wearing his fucking cap.
He's like Cabela's cap with a nice little, like I said, every one of them has a fish hook on it. I don't understand why. I don't fish, though.
It's because
so.
It's
I don't really fish, so I don't know.
I don't deal with whatever. It's just because it's him. That's his, you know, it's part of his whatever. And then, so he starts seeing himself change there, and then he goes into the kitchen, and then he prays to his caseworker, who apparently now is a deity, a 12-year-old deity, and who's a brat, and over enunciates her words. And then as he's praying to this false god that's going to send him to hell for praying to. Sorry. don't mean to get all weird religious on you for a second.
So
totally just make
I don't know about you, Matt. But do you want to take a break? Go to some ads?
Please.
Yeah, let's do that. Please. And try to compose ourselves.
I
here.
Need this.
Yeah, we'll be right back after this, folks. Okay, everybody, we're was it back?
We're back. Yeah,
we're back.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Back from the brink.
I tried to, you know, calm myself down during the break from the, what would you call it? The piece of shit that was Tooth Fairy 2.
Yeah. This is like a group therapy session for us right here. So,
Hi, my name is Mike, and I watched Tooth Fairy 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
Welcome, Mike.
So I was looking up on the Internet Movie Database, imdb.com, if you're unfamiliar. Some people gave some interesting reviews of this movie, and I think it's time we read some of those, because I can't really think of anything to say myself about this movie anymore, and I just want to give some other people's opinions, you know, people that thought differently of the movie than Matt and I. Huh. Why the fuck these people are allowed to write on the internet is beyond... Anyways, okay! So, this lady named Alice... That's all she has listed as her name. Gave a 6 out of 10. I mean, it's not the greatest, number review. It's not like a 10 out of 10, which some of these are. But her headline is surprisingly enjoyable. I was looking for a funny, undemanding movie, something that would cheer up someone recovering from an illness, for instance. Tooth Fairy 2 fits the bill. I am not a huge fan of Larry the Cable Guy, but he does a nice job here working as a quote-unquote temp tooth fairy. He winds up drenched in pink, not his favorite color, but manages to graduate from a tutu to overalls. The pink baseball cap is a nice touch. Not only does Larry have a tight deadline to meet with regards to collecting teeth, but he has to win his girlfriend back and convince a kid to believe in the Tooth Fairy again. Does he accomplish this all? Let's just say everything ends happily. This isn't Citizen Kane, but if you're in the mood for it, this movie is a lot of fun. If you're in the mood for it, this movie is a lot of fun.
Why was she?
Recommended. That's what she says here.
Why would she even bring up Citizen Kane at all with this?
My thing is, I love it when people say, oh, well, the movie isn't Citizen Kane or anything, but it's good. You know, people say that all the time, but my thing is you should never mention Citizen Kane in a review of Tooth Fairy, any Tooth Fairy, not even Tooth Fairy 1, but especially not Tooth Fairy fucking 2.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That one part, though, what was it, where she said, what was it, something about someone healing from a sickness. This movie is a fucking sickness.
And my thing is I think if I was, laying in bed, sick with the flu or something, and somebody's like, hey, I got something here to cheer you up, I would pray for the flu to take me.
You watch Tooth Fairy 2 and feel better when you're...
My thing is yeah, I would get out of bed really quick. I'd be like, yeah, turn this fucking shit off so I can go to work or whatever. I mean, I'd rather, go around and get everybody else in the fucking world sick than have to watch this piece of fucking shit again.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I know I'm a filmmaker myself, and people probably hate the movies I made.
No, dude.
But... And I don't want to be disrespectful to another filmmaker, but this movie sucked. I watched it for free, and I want my money back. I don't even know what that fucking means, but I do.
I think the best final touch to this is the fact that the resolution quality itself was kind of low. It just added to the surreal aspect to this whole...
Yeah, we watched it in like 720p instead of 1080, so that's why. Oh, but yeah.
And that just made it even worse, which is good.
Didn't want to pay more money for a 1080p version of the fucking movie. Anyways.
Oh, God.
Okay, so here's another review of it. Okay. This is a 9 out of 10.
Oh, my God.
From Toon We Play. That's the person's name on the Internet Movie Database or whatever. Okay, preface to their thing. I like Larry the Cable Guy, but I don't much appreciate his usual off-color humor. Even though we are both Cornhuskers, go Big Red, so I was a little apprehensive renting this to watch with my family. All right, they wanted to see a good family movie, and they watched this piece of shit. Anyways, oh my God. It is nearly impossible to find a movie that all my kids enjoy, 16, 14, 10, and 5 years old. But in Tooth Fairy 2, they all laughed, and after it was over, my 16-year-old said, "That was pretty good. Score." Is it far-fetched? Yes. Is there some dumb humor? Yes. So, while not the best movie I've ever seen, again, I challenge you to find something all my kids enjoyed together. Exceeded my expectations and provided laughs. Thanks. And then underneath that he says, love the fact that he wore a variety of Cabela's and black shirts, caps, too. Okay. My thing is, okay, this guy, to give it a 9 out of 10, his only criteria was that his 16, 14, 10, and 5-year-old all enjoyed it. Kill me, Matt. Kill me.
I might. Maybe.
See if there's any.
You said there was a 10 out of 10 somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can.
God.
Find a good 10 out of 10 here to read. Okay, I found one of the 10 out of 10s here. Awesome family fun. And this is written by Pumpkin Man on the Internet Movie Database. I thought this movie was hilarious and just as entertaining as the original. This one may even be better and funnier because of Larry the Cable Guy's country boy humor. Larry Guthrie has had his 15 minutes of fame as a bowling champion. His girlfriend Brooke has left him, and now dating Bo, a man who is running for mayor. When Larry accidentally tells Brooke's students not to believe in fairy tales or the Tooth Fairy, he's sent to Fairy World by Nyx. He's told to collect 10 teeth in 10 days or Nyx will take away his most cherished memory. If you love slapstick, southern country jokes, and the original movie, you'll definitely love Tooth Fairy 2. Okay, that wasn't really that funny of a review, but it's still somebody out there fucking believes.
It's sad.
It's sad more than anything, yes.
You know what's interesting, too, about the whole... No, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, Bo... He's kind of like this Duck Dynasty character where inwardly they're actually like really, really rich people and stuff. But then they put on this like show of like they're like I'm country, you know, like type of thing. Like, the,
yeah.
OK, so Bo is like, you know, comes from like a family dynasty of like car dealerships, or whatever. He's like really, really independently wealthy. And then when he's having like a campaign meeting with like his people, I guess. He basically tells them that he just talks that way to kind of get votes, which is really interesting because Larry the Cable Guy himself does not talk that way.
He's a fucking fraud.
And he's from Nebraska, not from the South, and he's doing literally that. But okay, so
yeah.
I just wanted to put – I thought that was so, a nice taste of irony.
I found another 10 out of 10 here.
Come on.
Yes.
Two of them?
Okay. All right, this is from Jamie Waters is the name of the person. Okay. Anyways, the headline is, "It is an amazing family film." It is an amazing family film. I never laughed this hard on a movie before. It is like one of the coolest movies ever. It is really funny. It is a really funny family film. This movie is a must-see movie for everyone to enjoy. I have never seen a movie like this. I think you will enjoy this one of a kind movie that is heartwarming, and they spelled heart, H-A-R-T. Also, by the way, there is no punctuation in this, by the way. I'm kind of adding all that. And all the I's are lowercase. Anyways, one of a kind movie that is heartwarming movie that is what I call an outstanding movie. This is a must-see movie for everyone. I like this movie a lot, and I like, and I hope you like it too. This is one sweet, funny movie with Larry the Cable Guy, which is all capitalized properly, but they never capitalize I. In it, I'm really hoping this is a kid that
like
wrote this.
Like a 6-year-old wrote this.
This is a must-see movie. Go Tooth Fairy 2, you are amazing. This is one big hit. I hope you enjoy this one-of-a-kind adventure.
How many times did I gotta
like
say that?
You never seen before.
Oh, I've sure have...
I hope it comes out in 3D now.
That's gotta be that a
I would,
troll.
That, now, that would be cool if this movie... Would this movie be a big hit? This movie is a hoot. This is one laugh out loud movie. I really think you will enjoy this masterpiece of a movie.
It's gotta be.
I have never seen a movie quite like this in my life. It is one sweet and pink movie. I mean, it is really pink. It is just a funny, funny movie.
Oh my God.
I hope you enjoy, everyone.
Was this person like snorting bath salts before they wrote this review? Like,
this review is funnier than the fucking movie.
It is. It really is. It's untrue. It's objectively untrue. I don't know how anyone could actually believe
I'm really
that.
Hoping this is just a like a hoax.
It's gotta be. It's not a fucking masterpiece. You have to be a fucking idiot to think this movie is a masterpiece.
But I mean, look at that, Matt.
It's
all
just one like bar.
There's no punctuation whatsoever.
It's not even a paragraph thing. It's just like a long thing of text.
Yeah. There's no punctuation. Jeez. That was all. One sentence without a period.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Okay, so...
One of a kind. Oh, it's one of a kind, all right. Doesn't mean it's good.
Okay, here's one that might be serious. It's an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Okay, and the headline is, "Stupid is not in my vocabulary," which is one of the lines in the movie. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a great movie for kids at that Tooth Fairy age. Larry the Cable Guy, a caricature individual, commits a faux pas by inadvertently informing a child the Tooth Fairy is a fairy tale. As penance, he must collect 10 teeth, 10 days, blah, blah, blah. It's giving away the plot here. Larry shows has a big heart and always wants... The humor was geared towards kids. There were no innuendos for adults to ponder. I would think this film is geared more for girls than boys. That's the review.
Okay.
I don't really think it's really geared towards either. I don't know if this is really geared towards humans.
I don't.
I think maybe that piglet in the movie might have enjoyed it. That's about it. I'm not really sure.
Did bots write this?
I don't know.
Like, internet bots seems like it wrote this.
Oh, my God.
We know that bots didn't write it because a real person... a real person wrote
There's
this.
Another 8 out of 10. Not Bad. Written by Matt Kretz. This wasn't too bad a sequel to the first movie. It's a sequel in name only, as Larry the Cable Guy is the Tooth Fairy here. He lets his love interest down one too many times, ruins a kid's image of the Tooth Fairy, and winds up having to do time as a Tooth Fairy. As long as you can come in with not too high expectations, you're bound to at least like this one. As Larry the Cable Guy does a decent comic turn, it has its moments, especially with the opening moments at the bowling alley. The scenes of him going around collecting the teeth, and the scenes with the kids. The kids who act as circles around Larry the fucking Cable Guy. Anyways, I'm sorry, that was me adding in. That wasn't in the fucking... Okay. It was pretty good. comic family movie serving as a vehicle for its star, same as the first film. 8 out of 10.
Yeah, okay. Go to hell. Sorry.
The fuck is wrong with people?
People like anything now. It is. People like any bullshit. Anything is entertainment now. That's entertainment. What we
just never.
I mean,
I guess I just never understood the whole blue collar comedy. You know, like appeal.
It's bullshit. That's what it is. That's what I keep saying.
The only one of them that I even found halfway funny was Ron White.
Yeah,
and that's just because he wasn't totally playing up the whole "oh shucks, I'm a Southern boy"
yeah,
sort of thing.
He wasn't patronizing.
No.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. That's what I've been telling people for years. This whole idea—I know it's like political for a second—but this whole idea that, you know, working class people are just a bunch of dumb yokels that don't like anything nice, that they could just, you know, live off of cottage cheese and corn dogs.
The whole "you might be a redneck if" you know, bullshit.
It's like, you know, you could be poor and or working class and still actually like beautiful things, or like, I don't know, have a painting in your house. Oh, God forbid. No, we can't have that.
It's
got to be a gasoline can, you know, sitting, I don't, whatever.
This is my impersonation of every blue collar comedy tour video I've ever seen. You might be a redneck if ba 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 ba, get her done, ba 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 ba, here's your sign, ba 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 ba, get her done. That was it. That's everything. That's all of it. It's fucking stupid.
It is. No, really, I agree. That stuff just drives me up the wall. Really, I come from a working class background. All of my dad, his dad before them, none of our family has been rich or upper class or anything like that at all. And I guarantee you, I don't like any of that shit. My dad doesn't like it. I'm guarantee his dad wouldn't like it. So I don't know what fucking blue collar people these people are appealing to. It's certainly no one I have known in my life. So I maybe I'm the outlier here, but I just don't get it. I don't get it. I come from like four generations of factory workers. I think I can actually talk on this, and not one of them thought any of that kind of stuff was funny. Not one.
No.
I don't know who does, but
I know people that do, and well, I still don't get it. I've tried to understand them, and I don't get why that's funny. Because like you said, it's playing to the lowest common denominator,
yeah.
And it's basically making fun of the audience that they're trying to appeal to.
Yeah, and they walk home to the bank and run laughing to the bank, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Foxworthy is one of the fucking richest people in the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure Larry the Cable Guy is well off, and all the other guys involved in that, I don't even remember their names and don't want to,
because I
need that space in my brain for something else.
There was a guy that was basically like Jeff Foxworthy, but a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, because there was the guy that did the whole here's your sign thing. That guy was part of it. Yeah, I don't even know who the fuck that was, and I don't really feel like looking it up.
No, I don't.
If you know who it is, don't email me and tell me, because I don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. And plus, too.
But if you want to email me, my email is mike@cullenpark.com. Feel free to email me anything. If you disagree with me, and you have a good reason that you disagree with me, we might read it on the air the next time, because we're going to cover another Larry the Cable Guy movie in the future.
Oh, God damn it.
I'm
sorry.
In
a few months, yes.
Yeah,
I know.
We're gonna have to. At some point when we do our Christmas specials, we're probably going to cover Jingle All the Way 2, which was another Larry the Cable Guy movie, also directed by Alex Zamm, the director of this movie.
Just saying, so that one's probably going to be just as bad as this. I don't know, though. We'll see.
Yeah, it depends, because the writer, it's not the same writer, so
at least
we got that going for us.
Yeah.
But,
of course, you know, he was dealing, this is what he had to deal with, though, too. We got to think of the context of what he was given. He was given Larry the Cable, fucking cable guy. So, you know.
But, I mean, okay, this guy, he's directing a live-action Hong Kong Fooey movie. He directed the live-action Woody the Woodpecker movie.
Okay.
He's directed several, like, made-for-television or streaming Christmas movies. Like, A Christmas Prince, A Royal Christmas, and Crown for Christmas, sorry. And then, but he seems to specialize in direct-to-video sequels. He's also directed, you know, Jingle All the Way 2, which we've mentioned, The Little Rascals Save the Day, Tooth Fairy 2, which we just are talking about, unfortunately, Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2. Something called The Haunting Hour. Don't Think About It, which I think it's like that. But he's Dr. Dolittle Million Dollar Mutts, which is a direct-to-video sequel. Inspector Gadget 2. Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah. That's all we have to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of those movies will probably, if you want us to, be coming in future episodes of All Too Real 2. God
damn it.
I mean, we're going to cover some other different topics. I've got, like, some ideas of talking about television pilots and also some other nice little things. And we also have our little conspiracy theory episodes from time to time just to make us be able to take a break from watching the wonderful world of direct-to-video sequels.
You know, this guys, this is not easy for us. And by that, I mean, I don't mean the time it takes. It's not easy mentally and emotionally for us to have to watch these terrible movies, for you to hear us talk about them. So if anyone would like to sponsor us to kind of help alleviate some of the suffering that we go
look up
through,
our Patreon page. We'll have that up soon. If it's not already up. But you can find everything on CullenPark.com. I'll have everything located there for all of our podcast network and the Cullen Park Productions podcasts. Yeah.
Even just like 50 cents would feel like, oh, well, you know.
50 cents will feed this, Matt.
We're not.
No, wait.
Yeah, we're not alone here. We're not in some void of existence where the only thing that's conscious is Larry the fucking cable guy is a tooth fairy.
And if you enjoy our little talks about this too, we are hoping to have nice little incentives on our Patreon pages to like where you can listen to us and get your own audio commentary to any movie you want. We'll even let you pick the movie too sometimes. Ooh. I'm thinking that that'll be a kind of cool fun thing to do, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to be a direct-to-video sequel. It can be anything. I mean, we could, you know, maybe actually a good movie.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But
a good movie.
Those usually aren't as fun to make fun of.
They're not, though. No, but the other thing, this podcast is good because of how shitty that movie is. I don't think we've been this angry in a long time.
Now, I mean, honestly, okay, I thought that George the Jungle 2 was the low point.
Oh, I did too. That was just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We've already broken that 3 weeks later.
Yes.
I mean.
So, and I mean, I'm sure, like, right now at this moment, I'm thinking it can't get worse.
Oh, it will.
But it will.
It will.
It will. I'm sure. I'm sure.
It's always going to get worse. It's like the nine layers of hell.
I mean,
just keep going down.
And the thing is, if you pay us enough money, maybe one day we can actually make our own direct-to-video sequel.
Ooh, that would be sweet.
That would be awesome if we could get the rights to, I don't know.
You know what it would be? It would be that movie with Seth Green with the rollerblade. Oh.
Oh, Airborne?
If we can make Airborne 2.
That would be great.
And star Seth Green in that as like a 48-year-old who's still just in Ohio. Sorry.
The guy who starred in that, actually the main character from that, is like a painter and I think he sells houses and stuff down in Texas now.
Okay,
so he was interviewed by the great How Did This Get Made podcast, which is one of my favorites. But
wow.
So, Matt, would you recommend this movie to anyone in the world?
I think that if anyone wants to feel bad about themselves for any reason whatsoever, whether they had a really, really good day and they're on too much of like a social high and they need to be brought down to reality, this would do the trick and more. It would be like, you know, if you have a bottle of pills that says take 1 to 2 every 4 to 6 hours, but you took 8. It would be something like that. It would take you way over the edge from what you needed, and hopefully you would be able to come back from that trip. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that I'm coming back from this. I'm acting like I'm angry, like this is some act. No, I'm not even acting. I'm actually this pissed off. And I don't get angry that much anymore. When I was a kid, maybe. I'm usually a pretty calm dude. I write lots of crazy shit, but I'm never mad when I write it. I am actually livid right now at this movie. I never thought that I would actually be mad at a movie. But here I am ranting when I should be in bed right now, about this stupid fucking Larry the Cable Guy bullshit. But no, I would not recommend this movie to anyone who has any sense of self or any sense of confidence in their lives and where they're going and whether or not they have any dreams or career goals or just any sense of happiness in their life whatsoever. I would stay the fucking clear from this movie.
I have a theory here. I don't know if it's true, but there are people in the world who have, like, you know, this sense of, like, aggrandizing their own, you know, capabilities, and they tend to, you know, think that they're greater than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is that they only watch movies like these.
Probably.
Because if this is all you watch, you're like, hey, I'm a better person than this Larry guy.
I could do this. I could make a movie like this.
Yeah, or it's just like, you know, that's the way people are in the world, you know. I could be president someday. I mean, anyways, oh, that's God.
He's probably watching that right now.
Yeah. So, and my thing is I would never recommend this movie to my worst enemy. Like, there are people that I don't like that much. Honestly, I would not wish this movie on them. I would be like, hey, you know, watch George of the Jungle 2. Sure. Go ahead. Watch, you know, Without a Paddle 2.
God.
Watch, I don't know, American Pie Band Camp. Actually, that's actually not a bad
actually
movie.
Actually was pretty good.
Yeah. Anyways. Unfortunately. Yeah. So, my thing is, watch the Buttercream Gang 2.
That's right.
Somebody made this movie for $5 million. You know how many good movies I could have made for $5 million?
A lot.
Probably like about $5 million. Anyways, that were better than this.
A dollar movie?
I'm joking. I could have made at least 100 movies.
A 10? Okay, 100,
I could make at least 100 movies for the amount of money that they spent on this movie, probably, that would be better than this
Dialogue
movie.
Is good. You don't need a bunch of special effects, especially shitty ones.
Honestly, you don't even need dialogue as long as you have a plot
that
matters. That's not generic, that hasn't been rehashed a million times in every fucking Disney movie or sitcom out there. I mean, here's this is a very bold statement. I would rather be chained to a chair and made to watch every episode of The Big Bang Theory before I watched this movie again.
That's like over 220 episodes.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I don't feel well, man.
I don't either. I'm on edge right now.
I'm thinking of making a doctor's appointment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on edge. I'm not sure how I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to have to.
Is there a specific sort of medicine you can take for this?
What? The feeling of despair?
Yeah.
Yeah, like your depression stuff.
I don't think it's helping, man.
It's not. I told you. I took things this morning. I was fine. I was fine before that when we did our other show, and then we watched this, and now I'm literally on edge. I like even the political stuff that I get mad about, I'm more mad about this than that, and that's weird. So, no, I would not recommend this movie to anyone. I don't even – don't do it. Even if you're like us and you're trying to make fun of a movie, don't even do it for that purpose because it will still backfire.
If you're in bed sick –
no.
Like that person suggested, and this is the movie you want to watch.
You'll want to get up.
I mean.
You'll unsick yourself, if that's even the word.
I'd rather watch. You know those channels that just have the listings of what's showing?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah. I just watched that.
I used to watch those when I was bored. Just see what's on.
Yeah.
Watch the screen move ever so slightly, you know, to the next.
You know when you turn off the TV and it's just a black screen?
Yeah. You better watch that.
I find that more funny than
or
this
the
movie.
Fuzz, or what's it called? The noise?
Yeah, like the noise. Or like, you know.
God damn.
Or like, you know, Alex Jones. I think I'd rather watch. No, wait. No. No.
That fucking lunatic. God, I hate that guy.
Yeah. Oh, God. Speaking of somebody that created a quote-unquote character. Anyways,
okay,
there's a lot of similarities between Larry the Cable Guy and Alex Jones. Except for, I think I'd rather spend time with Larry the Cable Guy.
I honestly think Larry, I would. He's not crazy mean.
No.
Though.
He's not a, yeah.
I mean, he's stupid, but he's not, like, mean stupid.
I think, honestly, yeah, I'd rather spend time hanging out with Larry the Cable Guy, Mr. Dan Whitney, than Alex fucking Jones.
Yeah.
Okay. And, again, Dan Whitney, if we've offended you in any way.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, man. You're a human, I know, but you know what you are.
You know what you did here. You know this isn't good.
You know this movie was bad.
You were probably, the times you were laughing in the movie, you were probably laughing at the fact
that you're getting paid to do this.
That you're like, you were basically part of the joke, and you're like, haha, people actually think this is funny, haha. You know, that's how you actually laughed from this movie. So you know what you did. Don't act like, you know, you don't, you're offended, because we know. He's not like he's going to hear us anyway, but whatever, so.
Anyways, yeah.
Damn it.
I don't think we took a second break, but that's okay.
That's fine.
I'm gonna just.
Oh, can I finish?
Yeah.
Okay, so the final.
Oh yeah, I
shit
forgot
cherry
about this.
On top of this shit Sunday of a fucking movie. I swear to God, I was on edge the entire movie, and there was lines where I got just this curled up anger ball. But the last one, I just I wanted to punch the TV. I mean, I wanted this dig in there. So,
by the way, the writer of the movie is Ben Zasov.
Okay, okay.
Just want to give him credit where it's due.
Sure. As my colleague Michael said, so official colleague, said that he volunteered to do Tooth Fairy work whenever anyone else couldn't do it. So then he's called to duty when he's watching the football game, and his wife's pregnant, and she's going to make chili or something like that. So then she tells him that he's got to go and do a mission or whatever, and then she gives him Crusher, the piglet, to help them, and now they have the ability to fly for some reason, which they didn't explain why, but whatever. So they're flying through the sky, and it's got this, like, you know, majestic orchestral music, and there's clouds and it's whatever, and it's like a starry night, it's all beautiful. And then Larry goes, we're like a couple of superheroes now. Hey, we're I can't even say we're like Fat Man and Hagen. God damn. That line, it just grates on my ears. It just.
So, folks, be sure to tune in next time when we have a new podcast. It's going to be called Fat Man and Hagen. I don't know what the topic is. I think we just talk about bacon. But,
And he even knew. See, there was even self-awareness with that, because after he goes, nah. It's like he even knows. His character even knows how fucking stupid it is.
Oh, and an interesting thing, though, speaking of bacon, at one point, even after he met the pig that he thinks is cute, and he said at one point that he wasn't going to eat pork anymore, he's talking about, I wonder what my greatest memory was. It probably has something to do with bacon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
I love bacon.
Yeah, okay, asshole.
Okay. Fucker.
You gotta talk about that in front of a piglet. You fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, you know? Fucker.
Like I was saying before, like if I can, the way I'm gonna force myself ever become a vegetarian, so I'm gonna have to have a pet of every single animal. I'm gonna have to have a farm. I'm gonna have to form an emotional attachment. That's what's gonna push me over the edge. I can't stare at a piglet's face and hold him in my arms and pet him like a little baby, and then be able to eat. No, bacon. I would never be able to eat bacon or any corn dogs or any other bullshit. Same thing with a cow or a chicken or even a fish. Even a little fish with little eyes that are like blowing bubbles at you, like, ooh, I'm just trying to watch what you're doing, good sir. You know, nope, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm on the Mountain Dew surging through me. This shitty movie is surging through me. I know I sound like a complete asshole during this one. I'm going to be embarrassed about this podcast probably for the rest of our careers, but I can't help it. This is the worst movie I have ever seen in my life.
So, folks, just remember. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Anyways, folks, I forgot my greatest memory.
I forgot mine. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I think this movie wiped my memory of everything in the fucking world. I think, okay, like, I lived 40-some years before this fucking movie. I don't remember any of those years. All I remember is the 90 minutes of my life that I wasted watching this fucking movie. Hopefully by the next time we air, I'll have other memories that are better.
Oh.
So, anyways, folks, hope you have a good night and day or morning or whatever it is that you're doing while you're listening to this great podcast here. And please, whatever you do, when you're done listening to this, do not watch Tooth Fairy 2 unless you feel guilty for something and you need to punish yourself. Maybe then do
it. That's
it. That's the only reason. But, all right, I think we're going to sign off now.
Yeah.
I've been Michael E. Cullen II.
And I was Matthew Haas. I don't know who I am anymore, but okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Haas. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.